Tell me about mushrooms and milkmen and packaging and waste, Colin Cullis.
Bruce, our story begins in the 60s. That's when plastics was the buzzword. In fact, the movie The Graduate in 1967 had the line that said, "I have just one word for you, plastics." It was thought it was going to solve everything. It was like the high-tech wonder thing. And since then, it pretty much has gone on to be used for everything. In fact, if you put your arm out, I'm willing to bet you will touch something made of plastic. And just about anybody who's listening, put your arm out. I'm willing to bet you will touch something made of plastic.
All around. See, we had computer, microphone, buttons, desk is plasticky, pen, face.
So the challenge, though, is that because it's getting so ubiquitous, it's so cheap, we are using it for more and more marginal things. And the problem is the stuff that we can effectively call instant rubbish, single-use plastics. The stuff that was created that as soon as we touch it, we effectively say, well, now it just needs to be thrown away. And so this evening I'm looking to look at some of the alternatives to that, because while South Africa is sort of mid-table for the country's waste and dealing with landfill issues, developed economies have a huge problem with this. And as we hope to see ourselves develop, well, we will start seeing similar issues. So if we can avoid that, that would be great. But it's not an easy thing to fix. One option, for example, is for us to go back to a time before we used plastic for all of these things. But given the time that's passed, two generations, we've grown up with this stuff. It's going to make it very hard for us to give up. And it's not to say that plastic is inherently bad. Plastics for packaging have made food waste less. It helps from the, when you're harvesting and you're packaging, you're transporting, you're storing it, and you're displaying it. That all works because anything there that's used can always be returned to a supply and reused. It's the bit that when we pick it up as consumers and take it home that it becomes a challenge. One, we don't have any need of it. Returning it back to the actual retailer is a bit of a schlep, and generally we probably don't really care about doing that. So there are some companies who are looking to kind of find an alternative, and I want to mention some of those too, because we have some already here in South Africa. The plan is you bring your own container, or they will deliver and bring it, you return the container back to you. So the two I'm aware of here in Cape Town is Shop Zero and Nude Food. And I understand there's a couple more sort of in underway being opened. I understand there's one soon to be opened in Johannesburg. There's a couple in KZN.
We had Nude Food as a shapeshifter once. And, I mean, it's a huge schlep running a packaging-free retail business, because most of us are so blimmin' spoiled, we don't give two thoughts to our packaging and stuff. We might go and if you go to Woolies or whatever, you might complain dreadfully that everything comes in plastic, but doesn't it look nice? It really is hard to break that cycle. It takes a big commitment. It really does.
Absolutely right. And one thing, I was chatting to one of those retailers today, and the issue sometimes is you bring your own container. I hope you kept that container nice and clean. I hope it's an appropriate container for you to use. We sometimes just don't know well enough, despite the well-intentioned thing of bringing your own container, that it could come with other issues. And this is where the milkman comes back in, which I'm pretty sure is hardly the correct term anymore, but this is a 200-year-old service. I didn't realize it had been going that far back, where dairies had been, delivering you milk every day and taking back your old empty bottles. And this is the principle they want to do. In fact, there was a small little flurry around it in Davos last week, with one company called Loop being a bit of a startup that actually wants to start making the service. They've started with a couple of retailers, quite big names, but only a small couple of products. Then when you order them, they will arrive in a reusable container. And then when you need them refilled, the containers will be collected, and you'll receive new ones, but then those will constantly be reused. So, glass bottles is the one that we certainly still do use, and expanding that out. So where you used to use plastic bottles, I know they're using a shampoo that'll come in an aluminium container, little canisters, all these other sort of things. Jars, I'm sure, will be a big part, and they'll come and pick it up and take it back. That's at least a little less of a schlep. You're going to get your container, and it will get delivered to you. And again, Shop Zero does that once a week here in Cape Town at the moment. I don't know that it's a huge service. It is still quite expensive comparative to just wandering in and getting yourself. So it is probably still those people, one, who have the means to do it and really feel quite strongly that they want to be part of changing something. Unfortunately, the majority of us, we're not there yet. And so the challenge is going to be how to do it. And in fact, to try and get some sense about that, because while we're starting to feel a little better about doing our recycling, we're not necessarily always that good at what it means. So I asked the poll ahead of the show, do you know what the numbers mean inside the recycling logo? And I gave you four options. Yes, it denotes the number of reuses you can use for that piece of plastic. Yes, it refers to the type of plastic being used. No, but you've always wondered. Or no, you haven't even noticed. What do you think
four,
the most... Yeah, okay. 40% of people said they hadn't even noticed there was the number there, and I count myself included in that.
I put my hand up. I confess. I admit it.
But I must say, the curious 702 Cape Talk listeners, 31% said no, but they have wondered, and 21% got it right. It's that number refers to the kind of plastic that it's made out of. So one is the most common one, not because that's the one, it says the one, is PET. I'm tempted to try and say polyethylene.
Petro-electro-tetrocarbons or something along those lines.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. You're quite right because I'll just mess it up. PET. And the thing with that one is it can absolutely be recycled. We should definitely recycle it. But they do caution, don't reuse it too often. This is the one there. Some of the bits can sort of leach out. So it should be recycled but not reused. Others reuse, don't recycle. And it's not because it can't be recycled. Just that in the act of recycling, we either don't get enough of it collected together in a general sort of return cycle, or there aren't that many uses that in South Africa warrant recycling it, as opposed to just making the stuff fresh for when you need it. And there is an economic amount that needs to be calculated with. This is not just, it's good for the environment, therefore just do it. We need to find that balance. And that's kind of one of the challenges where it comes from. But sometimes you do get some people who just allow this movement to get a sort of an extra little impetus, because invariably there's a lot of people pushing from a lot of different directions to try and get us to do this. And you probably remember the sort of line, reduce, reuse, recycle. That's kind of the general line we know for recycling.
There's even a lovely kid's song about it from I forget the movie, but Jack Johnson, reduce, reuse, recycle. I could sing it to you, but then we have no listeners left.
I will look that up. Bea Johnson is one of those activists, and she's added two more words: refuse, reduce,
ooh,
reuse, recycle, and rot. So refuse, of course, is saying if it's a single-use plastic, just refuse it. If you can do away, or if you can do without it, please do. Very, very noble, and hopefully you can do it. But my second part, the mushroom thing, refers to that rot bit, because there is still a lot of packaging that we absolutely have to have. When you buy something, your new phone, you don't want it to just be handed to you. You want it to come in something. But that thing is kind of, again, instant rubbish. You take the phone out, you never need the box again, really. Although some people hang on to boxes for a variety of reasons. So this crowd, back in sort of 2007, and even before that, the creator inventor had noted when he was looking after some old bales of straw on the farm that mushroom mycelium, you know, the little fungus, would grow in amongst the straw and then sort of bind it all together. He didn't really think too much about it, but in thinking with plastics, and it's amazing how sometimes people make these weird connections, he said, I wonder if I could make a packaging material using the mycelium in some other growth medium. So what they've done is they take molds, the molds in the shape of the things you're going to need to hold your phone or your computer or furniture or whatever it is you need to have packaging in, the same way you use sort of polystyrene. And then they put it in some old agricultural waste. They use like old wheat husk, stuff that we're not going to eat and don't really want to feed to animals. You would just use for recycling anyway. And they put this in the mold, and they add their special strand of mushroom mycelium. It takes 6 days for the thing to grow, 2 days for it to sort of dry out, and then you're ready. You've got your new packaging. And depending on what you need to do with that packaging, as soon as you're done with it, you toss it in your garden or your compost or whatever else. It takes about a month and it'll be gone. In fact, a lot of times they're handing it at flower, you know, when you give away seeds and things like that. You just stick it in there, stick that in the ground, the plant will grow and you get rid of it altogether. There is even somebody, because they're sort of encouraging an ecosystem, as it were, of people who can use this stuff. For a person who said, I want to make a lamp, like an organic lamp. And they said, okay, we'll grow you a lampshade. And not only did the lampshade look kind of cool, they actually made one that looks like a mushroom. One hotel chain said, it'll be very cool for us to be seen to having these things. And they ordered 130 of them. And that became a bit of a thing. So the opportunity isn't just that it can replace some of the sort of the packaging, but there's a great opportunity for marketers to say, people might be attracted to it, not just because it's the right thing, because it'll look good as well. And I think that's the real wonderful bit about it. It's also a fantastic industry. Anybody can really get into a low-tech, let's grow some mushroom things. And if I understand that there isn't a license yet in South Africa for somebody looking to do it. So a potential for somebody to get in on the ground floor and do something with that as well. I hope, though, that while this seems quite unlikely, we're going to get it done now. Perhaps in sort of 20 or 30 years' time, we'll look back at it. And this will be the crazy time when we used single-use plastics and we didn't use milkmen for that little period.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I look at it and saying, oh good, maybe we'll disrupt 3D printing, because 3D printing is all about plastics and stuff, and if we can get the mushroom thing going, then mushrooms can disrupt 3D printing. That would be cool.
Yeah, that's effectively what it would potentially can do. And I'm mindful sometimes we talk about one thing killing another or one thing replaces another. It never really does. It sort of augments or adds it in. So plastics are fantastically useful. We don't want to get rid of them. But where we've started using them foolishly, where we haven't worked out a way to properly get rid of them, pull them out of the waste chain, that's where we need an intervention. And here, a very low-tech solution, a very old solution, might be just the thing we need.
We're in agreement. My thanks to Colin Cullis this evening with Business Unusual.